Good afternoon, friends. My name is Tony Miano. I attend Faith Community Church up in the Santa Clarita Valley. Here with my daughter and friends to share with you today the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the weekend where around the world Christians commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yesterday was Good Friday. Christians refer to it as Good Friday because we see it as good that God would humble himself to the point of becoming a man and humbling himself to the point of dying on the cross for sinners like us. While that horrific day on the cross by appearance would seem as anything but good, if you understood what Jesus Christ did that day and what great sacrifice he made on behalf of sinners like us, then you would call Good Friday good as well. The interesting thing about what many refer to as Easter Sunday, but what Christians refer to as Resurrection Day, is that there is no man-made religion around the world that can celebrate such a day. Because every man-made religion worships a dead God, a God who is not alive. The Muslims, the God of Islam, he's dead. He is not alive. There is no such thing as Allah. The God of the Jehovah's Witnesses, he's dead. He doesn't exist. He's merely the figment of the imagination of a young, confused man named Charles Taze Russell. The God of Mormonism, he's dead. Again, just the figment of the imagination of a confused teenage boy by the name of Joseph Smith. And think of any other religion you want to think of created by man. They all worship dead gods. But the born-again follower of Jesus Christ, the Christian, worships a God who is alive, the risen Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. And there is none other who has risen from the dead. There is only one Creator. There is only one mediator between God and man. And that is Jesus Christ the Lord. And that's who we're here to testify to today. Now I would like to read to you today from John chapter 3. John is the fourth book of the New Testament, referred to as the Gospel of John. God's Word tells us this. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel and yet do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And after this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside and remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Enon near Salim, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God. For he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." The Word of God. You know, many people think that the Bible says a number of different things that it does not say. One of them, people believe that this is a verse in the Bible: God helps those who helps himself. It's nowhere in there. It's not in the Bible anywhere. Something else that people believe that is not in the Bible is that we are all God's children. That every man, woman, and child is a child of God. My friends, I'm here to tell you today that that is not true. The Bible does say that we were all created in the image of God, but the Bible does not say that all people everywhere are children of God. In fact, John the Baptist, as he testified about his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, said, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." No, my friends, all people everywhere are not children of God. Unless they believe in the Son, unless they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they are not a child of God. They are a child of God's wrath. And God's wrath abides on them. What is God's wrath? Well, this weekend, as I said earlier, we as Christians commemorate the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the Garden of Gethsemane, before Jesus was betrayed and carted off to be beaten, mocked, abused, and then later crucified, Jesus prayed to his Father. Perfect union, God the Son and God the Father. And he asked that the cup might be taken from him, but not that his will would be done, but that the Father's will would be done. What was in that cup? It was not wine. It was not grape juice. It was the cup of God's wrath. There will come a day, I was just reading this the other day in the book of Revelation, there will come a day when unbelievers, because of what is going on in the earth, would rather to have a mountain crush them like powder than to stand before the almighty wrath of God. So what is God's wrath? Isaiah 53, the passage of Scripture turned to by Jews and Christians alike, says that it pleased the Father to crush his Son. Jesus knew in that garden, as he wept, and as he sweated great drops of blood because of the anguish he was suffering, knowing what he would yet suffer on the cross, knew that it was going to please his Father in heaven to crush him like powder. That same prophecy, uttered 700 some years before Jesus' birth in Isaiah 53, said that Jesus was so beaten, was so mangled, was so marred, that he could not be recognized as human. It's not as sanitary as you see in the movies. Even in the Passion of the Christ, that movie didn't do justice to what Jesus faced that great and terrible day on the cross. God the Father literally poured out his holy and just wrath against sin, poured out the cup of his fury upon his Son, and allowed his Son to be crushed, to be killed on that cross. So we are not all children of God, my friends. Unless you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you are what you have always been, a child of God's wrath, and the wrath of God abides on you. Yeah, that's true, young man. No matter how much you shake your head, it's never going to change. It's the truth. And someday God's going to humble you. He will. I just hope it's before you die and you stand before Him in judgment. That's my hope for you, that He saves you before that day. No, I'm not going to go to hell, sir. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven, not on the basis of deeds that I have done in righteousness, but based on God's mercy. No, sir, unless you repent and believe the gospel, sir, you have just uttered a self-fulfilling prophecy. You will go to hell. And I don't want that for you. I don't want the blasphemer, the idolater, to go to hell. I don't want the mocker like this young man here to go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. That's why I'm standing here. What do you think is going to happen to you when you die, young man? You're going to be reincarnated. And who determines that? Who determines that you're going to be reincarnated?
Force of power.
A force of power. And what is that force of power?
Some call it God.
Some call it God? So, what's your name?
Naaman.
Naaman. Naaman. Naaman. I'm Tony. Nice to meet you. Do you spell that the way it's spelled in the Bible? N-A-M-A-A-N?
In the Bible, it's two A's.
It's, yeah, N-A-N-A-A-M-A-N, right? Or the other way?
N-A-M-O-N.
Oh, all right, okay. Naaman, what you've basically done, and I don't know you, but I know what you've done just based on what's come out of your mouth. You've actually violated the second of God's commandments. Do you know what that, you know what that one is? This is what it is. The second commandment says, you will not make for yourself any graven images and bow down to worship them. Now, Naaman, granted, you didn't cut down this palm tree and build an idol and nail it on your mantle and worship it, okay? Well, okay, but here's what you've done. You've created a God in your imagination to suit yourself.
God created man in his imagination.
No, God created man in his image, not in his imagination. No, so you're making this up as you go.
Form of
no, you're making it up as you go.
What about the New Testament?
What about the New Testament?
At the end of the Old Testament.
I'm not going to go too long with you because I want to preach the gospel to these folks, but I'll give you a couple minutes. What about the New Testament?
The Old Testament, it said that this is the book of remembrance. No other book shall be next to the book of remembrance. And what did they do? They put the New Testament next to the book of remembrance.
All of God's Naaman?
The gospel that was created by the Greeks and the Septuagint.
No.
That came together.
Wow, Naaman, you've got to stop cutting and pasting off the internet, young man. You're just cutting and pasting. Have you ever read the Bible?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, Naaman, are you going to talk to me? Just so I have an understanding where you're at.
I'm not so sleepy.
Yeah, he's engaged with the preacher right now. He'll call you right back. Naaman will call you right back.
I'm with nobody. I'm here at the...
Nobody? My name's Tony. I introduced myself. You're Naaman. I'm Tony.
I'm here with Tony.
All right, trying to have a conversation because Naaman's soul depends on it. He'll call you right back. Because Naaman doesn't know if he's going to get hit crossing the street, so we need to have this talk. All right, Naaman. Okay. Don't worry.
New Testament?
Yeah, the New Testament, first of all, the Septuagint was a Greek translation of the Hebrew text.
Yeah.
It was not the Septuagint was not the New Testament. All right, so I want to understand where you're coming from. All right, so I'm going to ask you just a few simple questions about the Bible. All right, real simple, no tricks or anything like that. Okay, all right, I'm not trying to embarrass you or anything. I'm not. But a lot of people come up and declare things the Bible says and doesn't say, and so it's important that I know who I'm dealing with. because I've been reading this almost every day of my life for 23 years. I don't know everything the Word of God says. Most certainly I don't. I never will this side of heaven. I don't believe that. And neither will anyone else, okay? But to see where we're at, all right? How many books are in the Bible, Naaman?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay, there's 66. Who wrote the first five books commonly referred to as the Pentateuch?
Was it Moses?
You're right, it was Moses, yeah. Who wrote the majority of the New Testament?
Greeks?
No, it was a Jew by the name of Paul. He was a rabbi known as Saul before he came to faith in Christ, and his name was changed to Paul. Okay, how many Gospels are there? Yeah, how many Gospels are there in the New Testament? Well, there's four. And the book of history in the New Testament is? Yeah. No? It's the book of Acts. Okay. And the rest of the books, commonly known as epistles. Epistles is another word for what? Letters. Okay. So, again, I did this not to embarrass you, Naaman, but just hopefully that you'll humble yourself to see that what you're going to challenge me on, the Word of God, is something you don't know.
I love Jesus.
I'm glad to hear that. It's something you do not know, okay? It would be foolish for me to go to a biologist at a university and challenge him on the book that he wrote on biology. That would be silly, because I know very little about biology, right? I mean, it would be almost arrogant for me to say, oh, yeah, well, there's tons of mistakes in your book of biology. Well, how many chapters are in my book of biology? I don't know. I haven't read it, but there's a bunch of mistakes in your book on biology. I would be a fool to do that. Right? Okay. So, Naaman, I'm going to declare to you a couple of things that you already know. Okay? In fact, not only you, but everyone within the sound of my voice knows this. You know that God exists. God has already written the reality of His existence on your heart. You know that you will stand before God and give an account, and that He will judge you according to His perfect moral standard. You know that to be true. No one had to teach you that. I didn't have to declare that to you. God has given you a conscience, the ability to discern right from wrong. Okay? How old are you?
21.
About 20 years ago, when you first started to speak, one of the first words you uttered, not because I'm telepathic or anything, I wasn't there, but I raised three daughters, two of them are older than you, okay? And I remember one of the first words they spoke, and I've dealt with children all my life. In fact, I think that pretty little girl over there might have uttered it too. It's the word no. Am I right? Wasn't that one of the first words she learned? Right?
Yeah.
Now that beautiful little girl over there didn't have her beautiful mother go to her one day. What's your little one's name?
Ariana,
what a pretty name. She didn't go to Ariana and gently hold her chin and say, now, Ariana, I want you to disrespect me, honey. I want you to say no. I want you to slap at me because I'm not going to give you what you want. I want you to throw a tantrum as your mother. I need to teach you these things. You didn't do that. No. But Ariana did those things. Why? Because like you and me and everybody else, she was born with a sin nature. No one had to teach her how to defy her parents. I do know about that one. Ariana's living proof. So are you. Let me continue. All right? Let me continue. I don't want to talk over you. I'm just trying to make a point. Okay? Your mother didn't have to teach you how to say no. No one had to teach you that it was wrong to murder. You know that. You know it's wrong. No one had to teach you it was wrong to fornicate, have sex outside of marriage. Whether you've done it or not, you know that it's wrong. Now, maybe over time you've done it so much, not assuming, but just, you know, hypothetically, maybe over time you've done it so much, now it's okay because your conscience has been seared to that sin. But you have done and said things in your life that you would never want your mother to see or hear. Would you agree? Yeah? Me too. Me too, Naaman, me too. Now let me put you in this here. Let's say we had a big screen projector here, all right? And I pulled out a DVD, and on the DVD it said the title was Naaman, and the subtitle was Naaman's Thought Life. Everything Naaman ever thought, from your first memory until today, the darkest places of your mind where you think no one can go. And I've captured it on a DVD, and I play it on the side of the building here for the world to see. Is that a movie you would want the world to see? No! Come on, Naaman. Is that a movie you'd want your mother to see?
It's just reality.
Is that a movie you would want your... Naaman. Is that a movie you'd want your mother to see? Oh, Naaman. You know why that is? You know why that is, Naaman? Because Naaman, the reason you don't care is because your standard of goodness is so very low. It's seared. Your conscience is seared. Yeah, if you would like your mother to see every hateful pornographic thought you've ever had in your mind, your conscience is seared. Huh? You know, you wouldn't want your mother to see that? Oh, we've hit a nerve. Okay. All right, so if you're honest, Naaman, you wouldn't want anyone to see that. But God, the Word of God says that He's angry with the wicked every day. And why is that? Because He's omniscient, and He sees everything. Right? The life of your movie is playing before Him 24/7. All right? And that is the same God who, before you are going to stand one day, you're not going to be reincarnated. You're not going to be reincarnated as the king of Egypt. You're not going to be reincarnated as Mulan or her little lizard friend. You're not going to be reincarnated. That is simply an idea that man has made up to make him feel more comfortable with his sin. Man wants to believe that we get do-overs. The Catholics did it with purgatory. They created purgatory for two reasons. One, so that Catholics can feel more comfortable with their sin. And two, so the Catholic Church could rob the people of their money through indulgences. You know, hey, why don't you pay Grandma Tilly's way out of hell, out of purgatory? You know, walk up on your hands and knees up this flight of stairs and put a couple of pennies in the container here for us, and we'll knock 500,000 years off of Granny's stay in purgatory. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And you know that. You don't have to, you know what, just me telling you that, you know it's ridiculous. Because God has given you a conscience, and you know the difference between right and wrong. And so, Naaman, like me and everybody else, you know it's wrong to lie. I don't have to tell you that. You know it's wrong to steal. You know it's wrong to take another man's woman. You know it's wrong to take God's name in vain. Even if you don't believe God exists, think about it. When you get really angry with someone, do you shout your mother's name? Yeah, don't do that. Don't take God's name in vain like that. But you don't shout your mother's name, even if you're angry with your mom. When was the last time you got ticked off and shouted Osama bin Laden? Tell me. How about, Adolf Hitler? When was the last time you did that? Yeah. Oh, Obama. I wasn't going to go there. Okay, all right. But you don't. You shout the name of the God who has given you life, whose air you steal every day with every breath you take.
Not to call God God, but to call him by his real name.
No. Yeah, no, that's not it.
What did Moses ask God?
He said, I am that I am.
And what is that in Hebrew? The highest.
No, Yahweh. Yahweh. I actually studied Hebrew, Naaman. It's...
I am. Yeah.
Anyways, I'm not going to argue with you about, again, scriptures you haven't read. That would be silly for me to do that. Okay? But here's the thing. Now, listen to this. You bring up a good point. When Moses was standing before God in that burning bush, and Moses, scared to go do anything for God, said, all right, well, who should I say sent me?
Yeah.
And he said, I am that I am. That's a similar thing happened. Over 1,000 years later, Jesus was in the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. He was having an argument with the religious elite of the day, and he said something to them. He said that Abraham rejoiced at the coming of my day. And they said, well, hang on, you're not even 50 years old, and you claim to know Abraham? And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up stones to kill him. Why? Because they knew exactly what he was saying. I am God. That is what he was saying. And that's why they wanted to kill him. And that's who I'm here preaching about today. The great I am, Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, Naaman, like me and everybody else, we're all going to stand before God and give an account for our life. 10 out of 10. It doesn't matter whether you know. No. You need to get up. Naaman, you need to get off. Naaman, you need to get off relying on your knowledge of the Bible, because respectfully, Naaman, you don't have any knowledge of the Bible. You've been reading things on the internet, you're cutting and pasting things into your mind, you're claiming to know sophisticated doctrines in the Bible when you can't tell me how many books there are in the Bible. Naaman, I don't want to embarrass you, that's not why I'm here. But Naaman, it's foolish for you to hang on to that which you don't know. You don't know the Word of God. You don't. Okay? I'm not putting you down. There are many people who claim to be Christians who don't know the Word of God. They say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but they never open his book. They're hypocrites, okay? So I'm not putting you down. But Naaman, I can't let you just go on and spouting things that are embarrassing for you because you speak with a lack of knowledge. Okay? You are going to stand before God, you know that. And you are going to give an account for your life. 10 out of 10 people die. It's the ultimate statistic. All of us are going to die someday. Not a scare tactic. It's a reality of the world we live in. Over a year ago, 250,000 Haitians died in one day. They all had something in common. They were not expecting to die in an earthquake that day. It's appointed once for a person to die, and after that comes the judgment. You're going to die, and you're going to stand before God. You're going to give an account for your life, not on your standard of righteousness, not according to a law you've made for yourself, but according to God's standard. And it doesn't matter whether you believe that or anyone else. Think about it. Have you ever been in a courtroom? And you don't have to tell me why.
Yeah.
Okay. Me too. Hundreds of times. Not at the defense table, but at the prosecution table as a deputy sheriff. Okay, I was a deputy sheriff here in L.A. County for 20 years. And no, they didn't set me loose because I'm a loon. I actually retired to do this. Okay? So just to put your mind at ease. Okay? Since you're standing so close. All right, good. All right. At any one point when you were standing before the judge in the courtroom, having been found guilty, and this is a hypothetical, assuming that you were found guilty, and the judge said, Naaman, what do you have to say for yourself? And you say, Your Honor, first of all, I don't believe you're the judge. I don't believe those 12 people in the jury box found me guilty. In fact, I don't believe I broke the law. Furthermore, I believe I'm free to go. Bye, see ya. How close to the courtroom door do you get before the bailiff tackles you and carts you off to jail? You don't get near the door, do you? No. Now, Naaman, it mattered not what you believed about the judge or the law. What mattered is what the judge believes about you. Exactly. And the same is true with God. When I was in that courtroom setting, there was a saying that went among the judges and the attorneys, both prosecutors and defense attorneys and the officers. It went like this. Any man who goes into court to defend himself has a fool for a client. Any man that goes into court to defend himself has a fool for a client. And I see it happen. I saw it happen a bunch of times. Some hardcore tweaker, you know, who was offered a public defender, but in his pride and arrogance said, no, I'm going to shave, I'm going to comb my hair, I'm going to put a little weight on, I'm going to get a suit that doesn't fit, and I'm going to argue my case. I'm going to outsmart the judge, I'm going to outsmart the jury, I'm going to show that the police report was all lies, and I'm going to outsmart the prosecuting attorney. And we would just rub our hands together and chuckle and go, one for us. Because any man who goes into court to defend himself has a fool for a client. The same is true with anyone who stands before Almighty God and thinks that they're going to argue their case. Thinks that they're going to tell God by which law he will judge. Thinks they're going to tell God whether or not they're going to be found innocent or guilty. Thinks they're going to tell God whether or not he thinks he should weigh the good deeds they have done with the bad. Anybody who stands before God doing that has a fool for a client. But God, who is holy and righteous and just, and who will punish sin, and that punishment being eternity in hell, and again, it doesn't matter what we believe. What matters is whether or not what we believe is true. That little illustration with Naaman, showing that it didn't matter what he believed about the judge, but what the judge believed about him. The same's true here on Lancashire Boulevard, my friends. Step out in the middle of the number one lane, northbound, close your eyes, fold your arms, and declare that you don't believe in buses. Go right ahead. And see how long it takes for reality and truth to catch up with your unbelief when you're squashed like a grape by a bus. Doesn't matter what you believe about buses. What matters is what is true. Now, Naaman, I don't say all of this, I don't proclaim all of this to entertain anybody or to point a finger at you. I'm holding out a hand to you, is what I'm doing. But if you were walking toward a 500-foot cliff, and you're blind, and you don't know it, and I claim to be your friend, and I'm standing off to the side and I'm watching this happen, and I think to myself, self, Naaman's an adult. I shouldn't judge him by telling him what to do. I'm going to hope he changes his mind on his own. Or should I grab you by the arm and say, Naaman, turn around, man, you're about to die. If I cared about you, I'm going to try to turn you around, right? Right. And that's why I brought the law of God to you, to hold it up as a mirror, not as a hammer to bang over your head, but as a mirror so that you could see yourself before the one true holy God. It's the same thing I had to do with myself. I had to look in the mirror one day and stop declaring my own goodness and realize, according to God's standard, that I was not good. That's right. Every time we point a finger at someone, there's three fingers pointing back at us, right? All right. But that's not where the story ends, Naaman. And if I didn't care about you, I'd just stop there and say, you're going to hell. I'm glad you're ready. Glad to hear it. But I care about you, Naaman. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want anyone else to go to hell. That's why I'm here. Maybe looking like a fool to some, because I care about you. Okay? There's only one way you can escape God's just and holy wrath. And it's not by worshiping false gods, not saying that you do. It's not by practicing man-made religions. It's not by formulating reincarnation in your head. Naaman, the only way you can receive forgiveness is this. The same God who is holy and righteous and just is also loving and merciful and gracious and kind. Let's go back to that courtroom. The judge doesn't buy your whole, I don't believe you exist. The judge doesn't buy, I'm a good person. The judge doesn't buy, hey, I washed your windows, here's a $20. You know, God can't be bribed, okay? The judge finds you guilty. The judge sentences you to life. And then the judge stands up. He takes off his robe. He steps down. And he goes to prison in your place. And that's what God did. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Fully God and fully man and without sin. Unlike my friend Naaman, unlike me certainly, unlike the rest of us, he never once sinned against God. He was and he is the spotless, holy, and precious Lamb of God. He lived a perfect sinless life that we cannot live. In about 30 to 33 years into that earthly existence, he voluntarily went to the cross. My friends, yes, the Jews hollered for his death. Yes, the Romans put him on the cross. But my friends, understand this. They were merely the instruments in the hands of another. Jesus told the officials, I lay my life down of my own accord and I will raise it up again. And it pleased the Father to crush his Son. God the Father killed his Son. That's what happened. He went to that cross. He died a horrible, bloody death he did not deserve to take upon himself the punishment we rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, unlike every other God created by man, he rose from the grave. He is alive today, and he will return at a time of the Father's choosing. And my friends, when he comes back, he is not coming back as a meek and mild and helpless baby. As a meek and mild and helpless baby in a dirty feeding trough. That is not how he's coming back. When he returns, he will return as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to judge both the living and the dead. And the blood of his enemies will drench the hem of his garment. There are no do-overs. I don't want you to face his wrath. Naaman, I don't want you to face his wrath. What God commands of you, Naaman, whether you believe it or not, is irrelevant. What God commands of you is the same thing he commands of me and everybody else within the sound of my voice, and that's that we repent. And that doesn't mean turning over a new leaf. That doesn't mean cleaning up your act and living a good life. No matter how good you live tomorrow, it will not erase your sin from yesterday, my friends. Naaman, if I stole your backpack today and I got away with it for 20 years, and I became a law-abiding citizen and soccer dad and member of the PTA, I'm still as guilty 20 years from now as I am today of stealing your backpack. Time does not forgive sin. Time does not forgive sin. God commands all people not only to turn away from their sin, but to turn toward Him by faith and by faith alone and receive His Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, as your Lord and your Savior. And the promise is this, He will save you not on the basis of deeds which you have done in righteousness, but based on His mercy, based on His grace, based on His love for His creation. And if God grants you that gift of everlasting life and literally causes you to be born again, causes you to be born from above, and gives you the gifts of repentance and faith in His Son, then you can be assured of eternal life. You can be assured of forgiveness of your sin. Now, some of you might hear this And maybe you're not the person who's declaring their own goodness and saying, I'm so bad, I'm so righteous, I'm so good, God's got to like me. Maybe you're not the fool who's doing that. Maybe you're the person who's saying, I'm too dirty. I'm too horrible. The sins I've done in body and word and in deed are unforgivable. Well, my friends, if you believe that, you are also believing a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Some people ask, how can one man shedding his blood on the cross pay the price for the sins of all of those who repent and believe? How is that possible? It's very simple. That one who sacrificed his life, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ the Lord, is infinitely more valuable and precious than all of human existence put together. That's how his sacrifice could be sufficient. That's why he could say with his last breath on the cross, it is finished. Everything that needed to be accomplished for your forgiveness of sin was accomplished on the cross. It's not accomplished by going to church. You got to take off, Naaman?
A little bit.
Yeah? Naaman, are you hearing me, man?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to consider these things. Naaman, you're not guaranteed to get home today, right? I'm no prophet. I'm not predicting the future. I want you to live to be a 90 or 100 years old. But Naaman, you're not guaranteed to get home today. 160,000 people die every day, many of them crossing the street. And when that happens, it's going to be too late. The Bible says now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. God has extended his common grace to you because he's allowing you to hear the good news of the gospel today. Do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. Your pride will kill you. Your arrogance will kill you. Your unbelief will kill you. My friends, yesterday again was Good Friday. I was out here yesterday reading from the Bible that scene. And one of the most horrifying, saddening, heartbreaking scenes was when many of the people who followed Jesus around looking for a military leader, looking for a political leader, and looking for a free lunch of fish and bread filled the crowd hollering, "Crucify him!" They wanted a murderer named Barabbas to be released in his stead. All of these self-righteous religious people calling evil good and good evil. My friends, I don't mean to be harsh with you, but I want you to come to your senses. If you deny Christ today, you are no different than the crowd that screamed for his life. If you deny Christ today, you are no different than the Roman soldiers who spit in his face. If you deny Christ today, you are no different than the Roman soldiers who put a crown of thorns on his head and beat him to a pulp. If you deny Christ today, you are no different than the Roman soldiers who drove nails in his hands and his feet. And if you are the one who denies Christ today, you are no different than that soldier that drove a 6-foot-long spear through his side, piercing his heart to make sure he was dead. You are no different. My friends, you need to understand and come to your senses and realize that there are people nicer than you and much nicer than me in hell today. Because they thought their niceness somehow earned them something with God while they denied his Christ, while they hated his Son. And my friends, if you do not worship the Son this day, Jesus Christ the Lord, you are not a child of God. You are a child of wrath. And the wrath of God abides on you. So I beg you to come to your senses. My friends, there's a passage in Romans chapter 8 that talks about the adoption of God's people. I have two nieces and a nephew. My two nieces were adopted from Liberia. My nephew Jay was adopted from Uganda. Jay is now 7 or 8 years old. A police officer in Uganda found him as about a week old baby lying in a gutter in the street. And he picked him up and he dropped him off on the doorstep of an orphanage. Saved his life. They fed little Jay. They clothed him. They took care of his physical needs. One day, my sister and my brother-in-law saw a picture of Jay and said, "We want him to be our son." Did Jay choose his parents? Did Jay say, "I want Ian and Cheryl Perry to come to Uganda to adopt me as a child and take me to the United States?" No. Jay had nothing to do with that. It was out of the love of my sister and my brother-in-law who went to Uganda, who gave Jay their name, who gave him new clothes, who gave him a roof and safety over his head, and who gave him a new life. They adopted him, and he is every bit their son as the two children they had naturally. And what a beautiful picture of God's amazing grace. Because for those who turn from their sin and put their trust in Christ alone for their salvation, God adopts them as children. They are no longer children of wrath. They are no longer abandoned children. They are now truly children of God. He has given them a new name: redeemed, beloved, sanctified, justified, glorified, saved. He has given them a new suit of clothes. They're no longer clothed in the filthy garments of their unrighteousness. They're clothed in the precious, pure garments of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He has given them a new home, and it's heaven for all eternity. Now, some people hear these things, and in their foolishness and darkness of heart, they say, "What a hateful message." No, my friends, I'm presenting to you this day a message of love, the greatest love. Jesus said, "Greater love is no one than this, than he who lays down his life for his friends." And that is what Jesus Christ has done for those who repent and believe. Do not harden your hearts this day. Turn from your sin and put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. And it is forgiveness you will receive, not because I promise it. I'm no huckster tele-evangelist promising you the world. No, I can tell you that promise because God has promised it in His Word. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of it. All of it. No matter how dirty and despicable you think you are before God, those sins can be forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. The Word of God says that He will separate our sins as far as the east is from the west. Do you know why He didn't say as far as the north from the south? Because there are ending points at the North Pole and the South Pole. You can go to extreme north and extreme south, but you cannot go to extreme east or extreme west. It's continual. He will remove your sin as far as the east is from the west, and He will remember it no more. That's a message of love, my friends. That's a message of grace. That is a message of hope. Jesus promised His followers, Jesus promised Christians that in this life that they would have sorrow, tribulation, and persecution. He didn't, with shining teeth, promise them their best life now. He didn't promise that God had a wonderful plan for their life in this life. My friends, there are people dying all around the world simply for doing this. They're going to jail, they're going to prison, and they're dying for doing this. No, the promise of God is a future hope. It is an eternal hope with Him, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, for eternity in heaven. And that, my friends, is good news. That is good news. When I come to you this day, not as a judge, but as a friend, I am nothing more than a hungry man trying to help beggars to find bread. I am nothing more than a thirsty man helping others to try to find something to drink. So my friends, please, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, and I beg you to repent, to turn from your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior while God has given you time. We have Bibles, both in English and Spanish, to give away. We don't want to sign you up for anything. We don't want to sell you anything. We want to give you something. Please don't claim to be open-minded, but refuse to open the book. That's hypocrisy. See if what we're telling you is true. And thank you for listening. Naaman, let me ask you an important question. Is there any sin in your life that you love so much that you're willing to die and go to hell to enjoy that sin today?
No, that's a good question.
No.
Then Naaman, other than your own pride, which is sin itself, which may be the sin you're unwilling to give up, what would keep you from turning from your sins and putting your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation?
The fact that, well, my opinion, that the story of Jesus is the same story that's been reiterated throughout the centuries of man's history.
Yeah. Naaman, as a friend. Naaman, as your friend. Where did you hear that?
Where?
On the internet?
I don't remember where.
Naaman. You didn't hear it in the Word of God, and the Word of God is true, Naaman. You're still crafting a Jesus in your mind that you can refute, ignore, and disobey. So, Naaman, there is a sin in your life that you love so much that you're willing to die and go to hell for it, and it is the sin of pride, and it is the sin of idolatry. You're unwilling to give it up because you love your sin. Naaman, I've talked to people all my life. Yeah, you do. You worship a Jesus who's not the Jesus in the Word of God.
I don't worship.
Yes, you do. You've set up this Jesus and this idea of Christianity. You do. Everybody worships something. Everybody is a worshiper of something. It's either a God, it's either a hobby, it's either another person, or it's themselves. Everybody worships. The problem is, because we are sinful, we choose to worship that which we are not supposed to worship, and we don't worship what we were created to worship, and that is God, and that is Jesus Christ. Naaman, you got to consider these things, and you got to stop wrapping your head around this internet bunk.
My uncle is a pastor.
Well, that doesn't matter. I'm glad, and I hope he's a godly man.
Yeah.
But you know what, Naaman? When you stand before God, you're not going to be able to use as a defense, look at all these hypocrite Christians and all of what they did. Look at all this nonsense. You're going to stand there all by yourself. You're going to give an account for your life, not for anyone else's. There are hypocrites in the church. You bet there is.
I was for 28 years, Naaman. 28 years. I thought because I was in the right church and reading the Bible that I was good.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people think.
But Naaman, God's not going to accept any one of your arguments. He's not going to accept any of your ideology about Christians and how it got started and who Jesus is.
No.
He's not going to. See, you need to understand this, Naaman. The day of judgment, it's not a court trial. It's a day of sentencing. You, like everyone else, has already been found guilty. So you won't stand before God and plead the case.
I wouldn't even try to, be honest.
Okay. Then come to your senses, man. Actually open the Bible and read it.
Yeah.
But until God opens your eyes, it's going to be foolishness to you. The Bible says that.
Yeah. That is true.
Because those who are dying and bound for hell, the word of the cross is foolishness to them. But I don't want that for you, man. I can't beg you into heaven. I can't argue you into heaven.
No.
I can't.
I wouldn't want you to, even if
you
could.
But it would be utterly foolish for me to do that.
Yeah.
But if I care enough about you as a human being, I'm going to tell you the truth. And it's not my truth. It's His truth. God's Word is truth. God is true. We can't know anything apart from God. We can't know any truth apart from God. All true standards of goodness and morality have been set by God and His character. Not by you and me as individuals, not by society, but by God. And so that's who we're going to answer to.
Well, you can still have one of
you.
I'm going to be praying for you, man.
All right. Well, I appreciate the prayer. You guys have a good one.
All right. Take care, Naaman.
I will. We'll try.
Alrighty.
Oh, Tony?
Yes, sir.
Tyrone, right?
Hi.
I got a particular request.
Okay, and your name is?
I'm Tyrone Littleton.
Tyrone? I'm Tony. Nice to meet you.
I want to know where you got that speaker at.
Oh, just look up the Rebel...